If you've got a Bible, I'd like to share with you a few verses, John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Very well known verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now God, I'm sure, will bless us this reading of his word. Amen. Now, over the last few months or so, there was a documentary on the television, perhaps you saw it. I think it began just about January, maybe finished and just about March. And it was called 80 Faiths, Around the World in 80 Faiths. And it was about a Methodist minister who was... It's about a Methodist minister who was travelling all over England, or all over the world in fact, examining many people's different approaches to faith in God. Now maybe you watched it, it was on during January, February, March. And if you did watch it, perhaps like me, you may well have been impressed by some people's devotion towards God. But so too, like me, if you saw it, you may have well been astonished, if that's the right word to use, about some people's faith in God, and indeed faith at all. One of the most ridiculous things that we saw was where people actually had a guru, where they chose someone, a very ordinary person, and they followed that person wherever they went. And they more or less hung in every word that that person had to say. And they looked to this guru for guidance, for instruction, for everything that they did. And so you had this very ordinary person with a band of followers who more or less followed him wherever he went. And one guru actually said that the only privacy he got was when he actually went to the bathroom. It's quite astonishing. But anyway, what we saw very clearly in that program was that in a world of approximately 6.5 billion people, most, if indeed not all of us, we've all got some kind of opinion about God. Now I have to confess that as I watched that program and I saw how devoted some people were in their faith towards God, you know, I did begin to question just some of the things that I actually believe, and perhaps some of the things that you believe also. And so as I witnessed many people's attempts to reach God, to get right with God, having done so, I asked myself the following questions. Here they are. I remember very clearly sitting those Friday nights, watching that program, and then asking myself these questions. One of the first questions I asked myself was this: why do we need to be forgiven of our sin? Another question I asked myself was this: why does God demand that there can be no forgiveness of my sin except through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus? Another question I asked myself was this: why did the Lord Jesus have to die upon a cross? Another question I asked myself was this: why is it not good enough to please God by living a fairly decent kind of life? And then another question I asked myself was this: why is it just not good enough to be sincere in our religious efforts? Because I saw in that program millions of people who are very sincere in their faith towards God. Now, you know, as I look around at this congregation this morning, I guess that most, if not all of us, we're all decent, we're all respectable people. And so I want us to ask the question: why do decent and respectable people need to be forgiven of their sin? Why do we need to turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation? Well, here's the answer from God's word, the Bible. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here's another verse, 19. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Here's another verse. Then spake Jesus again, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now what does all of that mean? Well, what the Lord Jesus is saying here is that he and he alone is light. But in contrast to that, 6.5 billion of us, we're all in the dark. Now what does that mean? Well, you know, I guess that most people, and they set in their own mind the standard which they consider to be good or bad. I think you and I do that, if we're being honest. You know, if we hold our hands up, we're being honest, we'd say that, you know, you and I, we tend to set in our mind what we consider to be the standard which is considered to be good or bad. And I think it's fair to say, too, that we usually set that standard by comparing ourselves to everybody else. For instance, you might look at someone else here in this room, and you might say, well, you know, compared to that person, I've known them quite a long time now, you might say, I'm a pretty decent kind of person compared to them. But then, of course, you might look at someone else who you might have a greater love for, a greater respect for, and you might say, well, you know, compared to them, I could do a little bit better. And so then, by comparing in our lives what we do, what we say, by comparing ourselves to everybody else, we set the standard, and we decide what's the standard that pleases God. And you know, when we do that, almost certainly we come to one of three conclusions. We might conclude that we're nearly as good as everybody else, or we might say, I'm just as good as everybody else. Or if we've got a high opinion of ourselves, we might say, well, I'm better than everybody else. Now, maybe you've been coming here to Bethany Hall for maybe just the last year, maybe 10 years, 20 years, don't know, many years. And through coming here and meeting with the people, you've come to the conclusion that you're just as good as anybody else. But you see, when you do that, can you see it? When you do that, you're saying that it's you that sets a standard, and it's your standard that counts. But when you do that according to the Bible, you've got it all wrong. Because what you're doing is you're looking inwardly at yourself. Or you're looking into the dark by looking at everybody else. Whereas God's word says that we have to look into his word. We have to look into the light to see what God says about you and I and about his son, the Lord Jesus. In other words, you're looking in the wrong direction. Now, in my job, I have to do quite a lot of travelling. And I've got one of these satellite navigation systems, you know, a sat-nav. By all intents and purposes, I've now replaced the road map. But, you know, it's not uncommon for me. I program into this little gadget where I'm going and I set off. And then I find when I get near my destination, despite all this latest technology, somehow I've got lost. And you see, it very easily happens because you see in some towns or cities, they perhaps would have one street that runs the whole length of the town, maybe for 4 or 5 miles. You know, like you'll get Glasgow Road, and it can go the whole length of the town. And what very happens is it's not uncommon for me to follow the sat-nav, and it seems to take me right round the whole town, and then it takes me in to the wrong part of the town, perhaps because I've not got a junction to go to or a particular number. But not only that, it's not uncommon for me to be travelling to a particular destination and I see a road sign and it clearly says that this is where I should go, but this sat-nav, it says, no, you have to go that way. And so what happens is very often I find myself in the wrong direction because I followed the wrong directions. Now, you know, if you and I, if we want to know what we're really like, then we have to get the right directions. We have to follow the signs on the right road. Because the Bible speaks about two roads in life. There's the road that leads to life, and the road that leads to destruction. Or the road that leads to heaven, and the road that leads to hell. And if we want to know what we're really like, then we have to get the right directions. No good looking at each other, because we're all in the dark. We have to look into the light. We have to see what God says about each and every one of us because God knows everything about us. Now, what then does God say about each and every one of us? Well, this is what God says. He says there's no difference. All have sinned. He says there's no one righteous, not even one. Do you see it? Out of 6.5 billion people, there is not one of us who is without sin. When you and I were born into this world, we were born in sin. We were born in darkness. And each and every day we sin, and consequently because of sin, we fail to reach God's standard. Now in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, before he met the Lord Jesus, he claimed that he was possibly one of the most religious and respectable people that you could ever meet. But one day he says he's on his way on this particular road. He's on his way to a place called Damascus. And he said he saw a light far brighter than the noonday sun. It was the Lord Jesus. He said he met the Lord Jesus. He saw the Lord Jesus. And after experiencing the glory of God and meeting the Lord Jesus, this is what Paul said about himself. I am the chief of sinners. But this is the same man, and we read about in Philippians chapter 2, who saw himself as being head and shoulders above everybody else. What happened? He saw himself in a completely different light. You know, the Bible teaches that one day, we are all going to meet the Lord Jesus. Every single one of us. We are all going to meet the Lord Jesus. And the reason we need to be cleansed of our sin, the reason we need to be forgiven of our sins, is because the Lord Jesus Christ is light. He sees us as we really are. Now compared to each other, we might be okay. But compared to the Lord Jesus, we are full of sin. Now forgive me for talking about myself again, but I want to just make an illustration to let you see what the Bible teaches. Just recently, just after December, just after Christmas, just about January again, we decided that we would more or less decorate the whole house. That's not my house, wish it was. But anyway, we decided we'd decorate the whole house. And I actually didn't think it needed done, because we did that about 10 years ago. But anyway, nevertheless, we decided we'd go on and we'd do it. And you know, any doubts I had about the need to redecorate were very quickly dispelled when we started taking the pictures off the wall and we began to move the furniture, because you see what we saw then was the discoloration of the wallpaper. And not only that, you know, we took the curtains down, we took the blinds down, and then the sun was able to shine right in, and then again you saw the discoloration of the paint that should have been white was actually a kind of cream colour. The ceiling that should have been white was actually a kind of cream colour. And again, you saw the discoloration of the wallpaper. Now, you know, that's just a picture of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining into our lives, showing up our sin, our failings, our shortcomings. And when all our respectability, when all our good deeds, when all our Christianity is taken away, we're exposed for what we're really like. Because the Bible teaches, just like the Apostle Paul, one day we are all going to be brought into the light of Christ. And he's going to show us what we're really like. That's why we need to be cleansed and forgiven of our sins. Now, how you might ask, can we be forgiven? By what means can we be forgiven of our sins? Well, right throughout the scripture, the message is always the same. The Lord said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came with only one objective. Not as an example to us as to how we should live a good life. Not as it were to be the leader of Christianity or Christendom. He came with one particular purpose. To go to a cross. To die for our sins. Now that's the message of the gospel. That's the message that the Lord Jesus proclaimed. His whole reason for coming to this earth was to die for our sins. Paul says in Ephesians, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, you've now been brought near through the blood of Christ. Peter said, we've been redeemed not with perishable things, but by the precious blood of Christ. And all of this follows on from what Paul said when he said again in Ephesians, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you see it? When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came for no other reason except to die for our sins. Now that's the message of the gospel. There might be more than 80 faiths in the world today. But the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, is the only one who's able to provide you and I with a way of salvation. We sang about it earlier. I am the way, the truth and the life, said the Lord Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by me. Do you see it? When the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, He was dying for our sin. Now, you know, if we could get to heaven by living a life to our own standard, to the standard that we consider to be good or bad, it then begs a question, and here it comes, why then did the Lord Jesus die on the cross? You see, if you and I set the standard, and we live to the standard of everybody else, why then did the Lord Jesus die on the cross? There would have been no need for Him to. He died because, quite simply, as the hymn writer put it, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. And when the Son of God died upon the cross, He was actually giving His life for you and I, so that we might be made right with God. And you know, when God looks upon the cross, He remembers that time when He brought your sin, He brought my sin, and He placed them on the dying form of His Son. So that if we put our faith and trust in Him, we can be made right with God. There's more than 80 faiths in the world, but there's only one way to God. It's through the Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible, and the Bible alone, is the light of the world. But I'd like you to notice that although God's Word says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that doesn't mean to say that the Lord Jesus died upon the cross for the sins of the world universally, meaning everyone saved. Notice it's personal. There's a personal condition attached for you and I to come under the good of that. Notice what He said, that whosoever believeth in Him. Now that tells me that it's possible not to believe. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, we have to believe. We have to take that step. We have to personally trust the Lord Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. But you know, I'd like you to notice too what the Bible teaches. That whosoever believes in Him. You know, I sometimes think we Christians, sometimes I think we misapply this. We think that there comes a time in your life when you believe in the Lord Jesus and then you can more or less do whatever you like after that. But you know, I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. You know, when the Apostle Paul heard this for the very first time, it so gripped him that it completely changed his life. Paul, it would appear, just never seemed to go over the fact that the Lord Jesus had died for him. In fact, he very often spoke about the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. Now, you know, we have to admit, for those of us who are Christians, perhaps this is something that we really have daily failed to appreciate. It would appear at times we've just lost sight of the fact that Christ died for us. Maybe that's why we don't pray as often as we should. Now, here's a question. Do we pray every day? If not, perhaps we've lost sight of the fact that Christ died for us. Do we read our Bible every day? Only you'll know that answer. If not, maybe we've just lost sight of the fact that Christ died for us. Maybe that's why one of the reasons, or maybe that's one of the reasons why we perhaps don't come to this place as often as we should. Maybe we've just lost sight of the fact that Christ died for us. But you know, the Apostle Paul, he went further. He went more than just appreciating the fact that Christ died for him. You see, it not only affected his inward being, but his outward action. And you see, if you claim to believe in the Lord Jesus, it should affect your outward actions. This is what Paul said. He said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Can you truly say that? If not, then we really have to question and ask if we really do believe in the Lord Jesus. Every single one of us, we are required, in fact, more, not just required, we're commanded by the Word of God to live out the Christian life. Paul said, Christ that lives in me, that's what God wants from every single one of us. That's the message of the gospel. There's no other way for us to get right with God, and having done that, to be right with God on a daily basis. The Lord Jesus, God's Son, died upon a cross for our sins, It's only by believing in Him can we be made right with God. It's not enough just to believe in God. It's not enough just to believe in the Lord Jesus. I discovered as I watched that program, there are millions of people who believe in God. We have to trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and we have to live out the Christian life. There's no other way to get right with God. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time together in Thy presence and in the presence of each other. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word bringeth light and brings truth. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Word that not only shows us the way of salvation, but so too how we should live the Christian life. And we just pray, Father, that we all might leave this place having received a blessing as from Thyself, that Thy Holy Spirit might speak to each and every one of us, that indeed, as a result of simply being here this morning and hearing what You've got to say to us, we pray, Lord, that You'll speak to us and change our lives that we might be brought closer to Thyself. Part us now with Thy blessing, we do pray. We give thanks, and we ask and offer all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.